So today's daf is daf Kuf Tes. We're in the last line of Kuf Ches Amud Beis, going on to Kuf Tes. So the mission begins, Haposek Maus Lechasna. A very nice father-in-law has committed himself to give money, help support his son-in-law and daughter. Upashalas Rago, but he sticks out his foot. So what do you mean he sticks out his foot? Rashi explained to the last Rashi in the daf, Upashalas Rago, Lashon Bizayon Hu, it's a Lashon of disgrace, it's an insult. Vamar noish shein nechash ledvarv. He says, I'm not really interested. Noish may lashon of yoish, he gives up. He's not interested by keeping his word. Tol tit shal gavi ragli. You know what? Take the mud in the bottom of my foot. That's what I'm willing to give you. That's what the expression means. Pasha las raglo. Anishamati, that's Rashi's first pshat. But what I heard, says Rashi, I heard a pshat was different, though, was tala osi ala h vein li maliten. Hang me on a tree and I have nothing to give. Hang on a tree and take my leg, I guess, from me hanging on the tree. I have nothing to give you, I'm sorry. So whatever the exact expression means, certainly the intentions of the expression is that I'm not wholly standing by my word. So what happens now? So the Mishnah says, Teshev ad shetal bin Rosha, the Mishnah continues, that she, the daughter now, sits until her hair gets turns white. Now we're talking about the stage where she was in there was Erison, and the father committed to give it a certain amount of money, and he refuses. So he's not said, listen, I'm not going to get married to you. You're going to stay as an aguna, and I don't care if that means you're going to sit there waiting till your hair turns white. Too bad until your father pays up. Admon Omer Yuchola Hishitomar, she's able to claim Ili Ani Pasakti Latmi Eshavachet Talbin. If I made the commitment, so then I understand. If I'm not standing by my word, so then let me sit until my hair turns white. But now what my father did this. I have no control what my father does, what he says. It's not fair to me to sit here being in a guna. Oh, either marry me or divorce me. Let me go free. Keep me, hold me hostage. That's not fair. That's my father's fault. So then the Gemara says, rather the Mishnah concludes, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, ro ani es divrei admon. I see eye to eye with divrei admon, that's not fair to her to just sit because her father is a Rasha, for her to sit as an aguna. Let her go free, then take it up with him somehow. But let her either marry her or let her go free. So the Gemara qualifies this mission and says, Masisin delo ki hai tana. Our mission is not like the tana that we find in the following Braisa. Desanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechloku admon vechachamim. Al haposig maos lechasno. There's no machlokas admon chachamim on the following scenario. Al haposig maos lechasno. A father-in-law commits giving X amount of dollars to his son-in-law. Upashlas regal, and he sticks out his foot saying, take the mud on the bottom of my foot. I'm not interested in paying you now. Sheicholahit shetomar. She is able to claim, according to everybody, even the chachamim agree, she can say, Abba pasig alai mani yecholasos. My father did this, I have nothing to do. Everybody agrees where the father made the commitment, she shouldn't be held hostage. Either he has to marry her, or he has to let her go and give her a divorce. So what's machlokas our Mishnah refers to? Amal nechlaku, al shepaska hi al atma. When she commits on her own, shechacham omrim teshiv ad shetalbin rasha. Here where she commits, and the father's not following through with her commitment, so then the chachamim say she has to sit and wait until the father stands by her word. So, but Admon Omer, Yecholahi Shetomar, she could say, no, Kesurani, I thought Shabba no sin alai. I thought my father was so wealthy, he was going to support you, and he likes you, that's what I thought. But now my father's not doing this. I can't, it's not my money, I can't tell him what to do. I expected this. So then, Okanos Opater. So the question is whether her statement that she didn't, and we're not assuming she intentionally tricked him, but she thought really her father would give money, then she said something and the father doesn't stand by what she had said, that's machlokas. Interesting, yeah.
But that doesn't go according to the Lashon of the Mishnah at all.
That doesn't go according to Lashon of the Mishnah. Right, well, right. The Mishnah says, Posik Maos Lechasno. So
no,
we just...
And also Amon says, Yecholah Hishetomar Ilo Ani Pasakti Leatzmi. But she did Pasakti Leatzmi. The father is not listening to her, but she did do that.
Yeah, but that's not... She's not Pasakti. It's not... She's not responsible to pay the money, though. It's just that she, set a certain commitment, and he's able to hold her hostage. I mean, completely halachically... He never has to divorce her or marry her. He could, in theory, any man could go up to a woman, engage her, and just let her sit for years. There's no halachic force you could put on her. I mean, midrabanan, yes, but midraisa, he's allowed to. So she almost tricked him, but she has no monetary obligation to him, though. He marries her and doesn't have to divorce her, or he engages her. So.
Right. So So when we're saying here that she has to oknos optor, it does mean the Rabbanan, that Rabbanan will force him to do that.
Exactly, right. Okay. It reminds me of a similar case that had it work exactly. There was a yeshiva, something that really needed a lot of money, and two of the Kola guys learning yeshiva said, "We have a good friend who's very, very wealthy. We'll guarantee you $1 million." Something like that. Yeah, the Kola guy. So, okay, great. So they went forward, and the Kola guys go to their friend.
To open.
So, I think they were in debt or something like that. So the Kola guys go call up their very wealthy, you know, investment banker friends and say, "Oh, so, you know, our yeshiva's in big debt. Do you mind helping us out?" "Yeah, sure. Here's, you know, $5,000. So, you know, that's the same idea here, that she expected her father so wealthy and so comfortable. She said, "Oh, my father's going to cover you $20,000 a month. You'll be okay." So sometimes people don't really understand how money works. And so this is the situation she got herself in. And the Chacham, in the end of the day, say that it's too bad. You told your chassan that your father's going to pay. Make him pay. And Adam says, "That's not fair to her. You have to expect she doesn't know any better. So, you know, make a decision. Either marry her or divorce her." So on that statement now, we're around 10 lines down. So we're up to now, Amar Rabban Gamliel, might have to catch up though. So Amar Rabban Gamliel, Roa Ani as Divrei Admon. So the Mishnah quotes from Rabban Gamliel that I agree, I see eye to eye with Admon, that she is not forced to be held hostage. She has the option of, really, he has to either make the decision of marrying her or letting her go free. So this whole discussion would just qualify the Machlokes. So our time, So our Tanis is not like that. Oh, that's the whole point. Ricky, you see, you said this is not like our Mishnah.
Right.
Our Mishnah says, no, even the father makes a decision, she could still be held hostage, lefil chachamim.
Right.
Rabbi Huda says, no, our Bryce is different. That's only when she makes the initial commitment. But if he makes a commitment, then it's not binding. She cannot be held hostage. Okay, so the two different is Machlokas, the Mishnah versus this Bryce. Now the Gemara quotes another Bryce, a Tana, when is this whole discussion bigdola? The whole discussion is only regarding a gdola. So Rashi says this is qualifying the brisa. So the brisa says that the machlokas exists only by gdola, but ktana kofin. So Gemara asks, what do you mean kofin? Kofin ma, who are you forcing when it comes to ktana? We're going to put it all together in a second. Kofin laman. Ilay mulav, if you force the father to do what? To pay him the money, the daughter had promised. Ilam la'av ipchamim baile. It should be the opposite. What should be the opposite? Explains Rashi the top line here. Ipchamim baile imbas la'kofas av. If you are coming to assume that the father should be forced to pay the money that his daughter committed, ipcha mistav retrei. The opposite makes more sense. The fisha gedola tanai tanai. Meaning, if the gedola were to make the tanai, so that's a binding tanai, then we could understand why you'd force the father. As opposed to if the ketana were to make it, then we couldn't force the father, because the ketana says it's meaningless. How could this Bamed Ramurim say, when the ketana says it, it's kofin? So it can't be referring to kofin the father. It doesn't make sense that the minor, the 10-year-old, says, "Oh, don't worry, my father's going to pay you $1 million a month," and we go ahead and force the father to pay $1 million a month. That doesn't make sense. If Gadol, however, the 12-year-old says it, so then it's makes a little more sense. If she says something, there's room to maybe force the father. But since it says the katana we're forcing, it can't be pshat forcing the father. Se'ela, amarava kofin lebal liten get. We force the husband to give the get. And so let's read this through now. So when does it come? When is there machlokes, Rabbi Admon in Chachamim, when a gedola says, "Don't worry about it, my father will pay money"? So then Adma the Chacham still said, with the father, if the Gedola said it, the father you'd be held hostage until the father makes a decision. And Adma says no. But when it comes to a katana, everybody agrees that you force him to give a get. So
it says here that the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa is that in the case where she makes the claim in the Mishnah, she would be, even Admon would agree that she is Teshev.
Aha, Achitabel and Roshi.
Right.
Aha, okay.
In the Braisa, that's where the Machlokas is.
Aha. Okay, so it's Machlokas in both scenarios.
Right.
Okay. Now, this last line here, where Rava says, if the ketana makes the initial commitment, we're kofin the baal to give a get. Now, seemingly, if he wants, though, he would be able to get married as well to her. It was only if he doesn't want to make a decision, he wants to leave her hostage, then we could force it to give a get. I think that would be a clear understanding.
Okay, it says he can marry her without the dowry.
Right. But if he's not, if he wants to just sit there and do nothing and let her sit as a guna, then we force him to give a ketana the get. If it's a gedola, however, that's the machlokas, whether make him make a decision or she sits until the father
right,
acts.
Because we don't take her words for sure. Like
right.
Everybody agrees that her words are not...
Right. Now, it is still fascinating that when the gedola says something, that could amount to, the father's obligation almost. Even though her, her words are binding, I mean, do we assume that the gedola heard from her father? That father said, "Don't worry, I'll make this amount of dollars a month for you," or no? She just had a certain expectation, but even though she didn't really know her father's finances, it still is binding.
Could be there was an older sister. She just assumed, I'm next in line. I'll get the same thing.
She had a good deal. I'm expecting the same deal, and she didn't realize her father doesn't like her as much, or maybe the business went bad. Okay, I'm just curious to know how that gedola. How she really has anything to do with the finances.
But I think that's why we are punishing her.
It's a punishment, you think?
In a way, I think it is, because the fact that she promised something that wasn't up to her to give, she got herself into a mess.
Uh-huh. So it could be viewed as a knas, not so much as a chayvus that she's obligated to pay the money.
Right.
It just She.
It seems even from the lesson of the Mishnah de Braisa that the Shev Ad Shetiven Rosha is almost like a punishment. Not.
Agreed. That language does sound like that, I guess. Okay. Apparently, Tosos thinks this whole discussion, this Bamed Rav Murum, is actually referring to the Mishnah, not the Braisa, against Rashi. Okay. Also, here, this actually makes sense. The Tosfos Rush qualifies this discussion. According to the Bryce, it says the whole machlokas is when she is posekes, then there's debate.
When the father is posekes, everybody agrees that he has to divorce her or marry her.
When he's posek.
When the father is posek.
Then at Shetal ben Roshi, according to the Bryce. If the father makes a commitment on his own. If she makes a commitment, then there's machlokas.
No, according to the Braisa, if the father, then everybody agrees that she has that she can say, listen.
You're right. Okay.
So
when she makes a commitment herself, she doesn't know her father's finances, so she should get to go make a decision, or no, it's binding, right? So within that, Tosfos Rush says it's only talking about a case where she was paska b'fnei avia, her father was present,
right,
which makes the commitment a little bit more serious, and he, I guess, didn't say anything.
Right.
I'm not doing that. Right. But if she made this posekis not in front of the presence of her father, then even Admon, and Admon would agree, then she would have to sit Ajital ben Roshi against
her. As a punishment.
Uh-huh.
Because she got herself into a bind.
Because she can't make the taina, I thought he was going to hold by it. She had no idea. We're assuming she doesn't know the finances. Only if she says something in front of him and he stays quiet. So I thought my father's going to accept it. But the father's not there. Okay, this requires a lot more, I think, to understand how these obligations work. Okay, let's go. Yeah.
But according to Rashi, this is going on the Braisa.
According to Rashi, this is going on the Braisa, right?
Where the machlokes goes on where she says alone without her father.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So, if she's a gedola, then we say the machlokes is there. If it's a ketana, everybody agrees that if she said something, we don't listen to her.
Correct. Okay, the Gemara now says in the halfway down, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Elazar ben Elazar, Mishmei de Chizkiya. Kol Malkum Shema Rabbi Gamliel Roa Ani says Divrei Admon Halacha Kamoso. Whenever we have that line, I'm not sure how often it appears, Rabbi Gamliel sees eye to eye with Admon, that's how we pass in Halacha, and this Mishnah is the prime example of that, where the Mishnah says, Rabbi Gamliel Omer Roa Ani as Divrei Admon. So Amar Le Rava Le Rav Nachman. So Afil Bebraisa, is it true even if this appears in the Braisa? Because the Braisa we brought also has that same concluding line of Roani as Divrei Admon. We also paskin like that. And that seemingly would be a stira to the way the Mishnah is. Because we said the Mishnah and Braisa are mutually exclusive. In both scenarios, whether she is posing or whether he's posing, there's a machlokas, Right, I'm not sure how it works with Atman and how he comes out in each way.
Because if she basically, according to the Braisa, the machlokas is when she says alone.
And therefore, Admon hold that she gets to go free.
She gets, and the Chachamim know. And according to the Mishnah, the whole machlokas is when the father says, when she says, everybody agrees that she can get out of it.
Right, but according to the Braisa, in that case, she would be stuck. Admon would think she's stuck.
According to the Braisa, if we don't hold according to the Admon, she would be stuck. Right. Admon is the one who says it.
Okay, so it would be a steer. If you say this is true everywhere, even my Brysas, it ends up being a steer with Rabbi Gamliel of Admon's position here.
Position, yeah.
So Amalei, mi kamrinim b'mishnah. Did I say in Mishnah? B'chol makom shem Rabbi Gamliel kamrin. I said anywhere. So it sounds like even within the Mishnah. Even by Brysas as well. How do we deal with the steer though? So I'm not sure if the Gemara was initially asked by the Braisa if they were asking mitzad astira. They're asking just in general. Does this mean even Mishnayos, even Braisas, what is this referring to? But we're just asking now. We're pointing out there seems to be a Braisa though. Oh, this is the Tosa asks this question.
But I'm sorry, but
Tosa asks us. Yeah.
According to the Mishnah, Admon, when she says something, according to the Mishnah, everybody agrees that she goes free. And according to the Braisa, Admon also agrees that she goes free. So there is no stira in Admon between the Mishnah and the Braisa.
When he says something only, Admon says she goes free, but our Mishnah says she doesn't go free.
Right.
When the father says something,
right. When the father says something, according to Chachamim, she's stuck, and Admon says that she goes free. That's according to the Mishnah. According to the Braisa, when the father says something, everybody agrees that she goes free.
Okay, so Admon's consistent there, then, we're saying.
In both cases, I think Admon is consistent.
Yeah?
I think that the Chachamim is the one that's a problem.
But even in the case where she says something, so Admon says she goes free, our Mishnah says nothing.
Our Mishnah says nothing. It's possible, you could imply from our Mishnah, that Admon would hold, if she says something, that she has responsibility.
Right, that might be the stira.
Right.
So then
it could be. We don't know if it's koch, terror koch. You see, we don't know who's going to deal with it.
But if you look at Tosas, now look at Tosas, do you ask about Filu, Bebrai, Samarlay, in Komakum Kamina? So the Gemara says, yes, I said everywhere. I said Bechomakum, Mishnah and Brysis. So he asks our question. Tema, Heichi Matil Mifta Kil Chasa Ketevayu. How could you pass him like both? So I guess the Tosas is assuming without going through the whole calculations, it sounds like there is a stirah. So Yeshomer Hacha Perusha, Afilu Brisa, even by Brisa Kolmar Lemay Desfirle Latana De Brisa De Paska He Baatma Pliga, Kamris De Hilchasa Kavase, Vamle Komakom Kamina Lemar Kedisle Kamar Kedisle. So not that we. I mean. He's only addressing the stira. He's saying, we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, whether it be the interpretation of the Braisa, whether it be the interpretation of the Mishnah, in Echanami, there's two different interpretations of Rabbi Gamliel. They're both the final halacha. Now, if you want to take it one step further, how do we implement the halacha l'maisa, that's another discussion. So he's not really answering the question so much. Now, it's very possible a response would be that other Rishonim say, no, there's no stira. Our Mishnah never addresses that scenario of her being posekis. Maybe they would think that she would, according to Admon, she would be free.
Well, Tosa says further, because Tosa says there is a steer, he says, because the Lashon of the Mishnah is Admon Omer, Yechol Yishtomar, Ilu Ani Pasakti Latzmi. Right? The Lashon of the Mishnah
is Svara is being used.
She says, had I done it myself, you have Tain on me. This is Amo talking.
Right.
So you see, it's clear from the Mishnah.
She would
that
be.
Admon, right, that there is a steer.
Okay, yeah. So the answer, not a great answer. He's saying, you know, we pass like the Braisa within the world of the Braisa. We pass like the Mishnah in the world of the Mishnah, even though it's still a steer at the end of the day. Okay. But either way, this klal, whenever Rabbi Gamliel says, Ra'an yis divi admon, that's the halacha. So I'm a Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says now, I'm a Rabbi bar Yirmiyah, shtei dvarim shamer Chanan. Two things that Chanan said, if you remember, the two things he said had to do with him going overseas, the husband going overseas. Halacha kiyote bo. Mihalacha kiyotzi ba'al. Halacha is like him. Shiva dvar mishamar admon ein halacha kiyotzi ba'al. The seven things that Admon say in this parak, we do not follow like him. Okay? So, Okay, one second here.
According to the previous comment here is that the first three halachas, Rabbi Gamliel agrees with Admon, so it's halacha like him, and the next four are not. That's what I just read before.
Yeah. The way they're interpreting the words Kiyotzibo here is that See, look at Rashi three lines from the top. Hachi Garsinon. Rashi explains this initial statement. Hachi Garsinon. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabba Bar Yirmiya, Shnei Dvarim Hashamar Chanan Halacha Kiyotzibo. Shiva Dvarim Hashamar Admon Ein Halacha Kiyotzibo. My Kamer Vachulei. Kiyotzibo means the Tanah Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Remember in the Machloka, in the Mishnah we had Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai says Halacha is like Chanan. So what he says here is Halacha is like the Kiyotzibo is like the Rabbi Yochanan who says Kiyotzibo. The Rabbi Yochanan who's agreeing to Chanan, we follow the Kiyotzibo. We follow Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. And Kiyotzibo in the second statement is the Admon Rabbi Gamliel. When Gamliel says I think the Halacha is Kiyotzibo like Admon, we do not follow Rabbi Gamliel.
Right.
So that's the initial statement. And what comes out here is that we see Rabbi Gamliel, who's the Kiyotzibo, we do not follow like Rabbi Gamliel. Just above we said, whenever Rabbi Gamliel agrees to Admon, we follow that way. This is saying, Ein halacha Kiyotzibo. The halacha is not like the Kiyotzibo person. It's not like Rabbi Gamliel who agrees to Admon. So my Kamar asks Kamar, what exactly is Rabbi Zeira saying? Ilei mahachi Kamar, if he says the following, Shnei devarim shemar chanan halacha kamoso, the Kiyotzibo, if we say, we hold like Chanan, what he says, and like the Kiyotzibo, and like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai who agrees to him, and v'shivat dvarim she'amar Admon ein halacha k'mosov lo kiyotzibo, and the seven things that we hold like Admon, we do not hold like him, nor do we hold like the Rabbi Gamliel, who's the kiyotzibo. But that doesn't make sense because v'hamar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar mishmei dechizkia k'makom she'amar Rabbi Gamliel roa anias tivei Admon halacha k'mosov. We have that other statement that we clearly do hold like Rabbi Gamliel, who follows like Admon.
Right.
So elahachi kamar, what Rabbi Zeir meant to say was shnei dvarim she'amar Chanan halacha k'mosov lo kiyotzibo. We follow like Hanan and like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai who follows like him. The Shiva Dvarim Shamar Admon, the seven things Admon says, Ein Halacha Kiyotzibo. The Halacha is not like the Kiyotzibo. So Rashi explains, what does that mean, Ein Halacha Kiyotzibo? It means, Shelo Ra es Dvarav Ela Bishlosha, Sheyalo Liros es Dvarav Bikulam.
Hmm. So only Sir Rabbi Gamliel agrees in three cases. We actually pass like him in all seven cases.
Aha,
right,
well,
right.
So it's not like the Kiyotzibo who only agrees to him in three of them.
Aha,
right.
Okay.
Right.
But ha, kamoso, if it's kamoso, but all seven that the Admon says himself, halacha b'chulo, then we do follow, let me follow like him.
Right, which doesn't exclude the fact that wherever Rabbi Gamliel agrees with him, because we do pass in that way.
Right, exactly. So, fine. So then the Gemara says, wait, but cool, all seven cases of Admon, we follow like Admon, all seven cases of Kamoso? V'ham Rabbi Yitzchak, doesn't Rabbi Yitzchak, when Elazar say, Mishmei Techizkiya, kol makom shem ragum liyav roa, nis divrei Admon halacha Kamoso. Amar in, lo amar lo. It sounds like only where Rabbi Gamliel agrees to Admon do we hold like him, which is apparently only three places. But the places we do not hold like, sound like it's different than all seven. So Ela Hachi Kamar, what Rabbi Zeir really meant to say was Shnei Dvarim Shamar Chanan Halacha Kamosa V'Kiyotzibo. Whenever Chanan said his halacha and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai agreed to him, that's how we follow all two cases. Shiva Dvarim Shamar Admon Yesh Mem Shalacha Kamosa V'Kiyotzibo V'Yesh Mem Shein Halacha Kamosa Ela Kiyotzibo. Now all seven things that Admon said, there are some that we follow the halacha like him and the person who agrees to him, meaning Rabbi Gamliel. And there are other scenarios where we do not follow like him, rather we follow like Rabbi Gamliel who argues with Admon. In other words, we follow like Rabbi Gamliel across the board, it sounds like. Wherever Rabbi Gamliel say, which is three places, wherever he says that we follow like Admon, that's the halacha. Wherever else we do not follow Admon. Okay, beautiful. New Mishnah says Ha'orer al Hasada, person who starts complaining about a certain field that was really his. V'hu chasam aleh be'ed. And he signed off on the shtar as an aid. So what does that mean? Look at Rashi all the way towards the top, around seven lines, narrow lines down. Ha'ore al hasada. Ruvain ma'are al sada shibiyad Shimon. Ruvain claimed that the field that Shimon was owning was really his. Vomer Levi shemach alecha gazmimen. And Ruvain says to Shimon, I'm sorry to tell you, the land that you purchased from Levi was really mine. Levi stole it from me, and he sold it off to you, but it's really, really mine. V'hu chasam al shtar hamachira shekasa Levi l'shimon kishimachalo. Reuven, who's claiming the land now, signed off on the document that Levi actually sold to Shimon.
Right.
So when Reuven signed off the document, is that in essence him saying it's not really his? So he signed the document and noticed that the Shimon who bought it was a weak individual, very vulnerable. So he figured he could, you know, bully him around and say, Shimon, that's my land, give it back to me. Or no, something else is going on here. So what's the machlok? What's the din? So the Mishnah says, Admon Omer Hasheni Noachli Varishon Kasha Himanu. Reuven says, listen, Levi stole the land from me and he's a tough individual. There's no way I'm going to take him to court. He's too big, it's not worth fighting. Let him sell it to Levi. I'll sign off and make sure it's a good sale. Then I'm going to collect it from Shimon, rather. Collect it from Shimon's a much easier person to take to court. So that is a valid claim according to Admon. And Chacham Omrim, Ibud Etz Zechusa. No, Chacham said, by you signing off on that shtar, Mechir, from Levi to Shimon, you lost any right to claim it later.
It's tough to understand Admon, actually.
Right. Apparently, we don't pass this way because there's no Rabban Gamliel that wrote on Yisrael Admon. Okay. Okay, then the Mishnah says that Asa Simon La'acher Ivad Zuchus. If he makes a Simon to another person, he also loses his Zuchus. So what does that mean, Asa Simon La'acher? So Rashi explains Asa around halfway down the narrow lines. Asa Hamuchsak Ba Simon La'acher. Shelo Macher L'Ruvain Zeha Orela Elo L'Ish Acher Haya Mocher Sada Mitzadzu. Who's a Muchsak here?
The guy who...
Shimon.
Shimon.
So Shimon makes a simon to somebody else.
It's a question. Is im ha'ish ha'machshe, im ha'ish ha'machzik besadeh machar le'adam acher sadeh ha'samuch le'sadeh. I mean, this guy, Shimon had two fields.
Okay.
One that he bought from Levi, which now is being claimed, and another one that... That it's his.
Okay.
And in the star he actually marked the border.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning we're talking about a case where he didn't sell that land. He sold
the neighboring land,
and this guy who's claiming now one field is signing on the other field that agrees that the border is towards
a separate field. Yeah. So Shimon bought from Levi, who Levi supposed to steal from.
He cannot claim that I want to.
He signed off on another land that Shimon bought, which neighbors this one, which shares a border. Nothing to do with Levi at all.
But the borders are clearly
right.
Delineated
the
on
who
the
owns the properties around them.
Right. So he should have said at that point where there's no concern of Levi, he should have said, this, by the way, that property is mine, that border that we were claiming to be Shimon's property on your east is really mine. So that makes things worse.
Because you cannot say Asheni Noachli because it's not even talking about this.
Exactly. That's what Rashi said. Rashi says that even if it's Zechuso, Afil Admon, even though Admon in the initial case thought Noachli here, De'ain Lomar Kan Asheni Noachli. You couldn't say that by this case.
Right.
Okay, so Gemara says, now Amar Abaye, Lo shanu ela aid. It's only true if Reuven, the Ma'arer, is serving as an aid on the shtar mechira from Levi, the supposed gazlan who sells off to Shimon. Aval dayin lo. If Reuven is a dayin on the case of the shtar that Levi sold to Shimon, lo ibad zechuso. The chachamim do not think you lose your zechus. Why not? One would think the dayin should lose it more, maybe. So the tani Rabbi Chia ein ha'edim chosim al ela. Sorry, ein ha'edim chosim al shtar elam kein kira'u. Adam only sign a shtar unless they read what they're signing. A person won't sign a document unless they know what's written in the document. So therefore, Reuven's going to be held accountable for signing a document that his land was sold from Levi to Shimon. Aval, which this next line is a very fascinating concept. Aval hadayanim chosman afa pishlo karo. A dayan will sign off, stamp of approval on a document, even though they never read what's in the document. So Rashi says, aval hadayanim chosman, Bikium, they're being Makayim, they're going to give a stamp of approval that the Beis Din acknowledges this is a valid shtar. Even though they didn't read the contents of it, they're not testifying about the contents, the words, rather, they're saying the shtar came in front of us, and they recognize it was good, valid, to aid them, the signatures were all okay, but they're not going through all the documents. It was just about, we acknowledge who signed off on it. It's, I guess, similar to a notary, I guess. The notary doesn't necessarily read what's going on in the document. They just make sure the person signing is the person who he claims to be. Show me your driver's license, sign it, here's your stamp, May 21st, okay, you're good to go. But they don't read, I don't think the notary has to, or even allowed to, or should read the documents. So the dayan is basically serving as a notary. That's what it sounds like.
Right.
Okay. Gemara says now, Asal simin la'acher. So if now Reuven says, signed off on another shtar, the neighboring field to what he claims to be his, and he acknowledges that the field to the north is this one, in the southeast, and one of the lands is his, but saying it's Shimon's land, and he doesn't say, wait a second, that's really my land, and there's no issue of Sheini Noachli, so even Adam will agree, Reuven loses his full zechus. So Amar Bai says, Lo Shano El Acher. It's only true for somebody else, Aval Asvel Lo Ibles Zechuso. So when the Amar, I will get back to what it means in a second. Damar idilo avdi lehachi lo have a mountain li neli. So let's see. So Rashi says lo shanu el acher. Dafka nakin masisin simin laacher. You sell to another party. Aval asar hamuchzak ba simin laatzmel sheruven zehorela she shimon mocher sada shebetida leruven zehorela uch shemeita lo simani hamitzarim. So only when it's sold to another person. But again, if Shimon, who's being muchzik on the land right now, he does a simon to himself of Reuven, who's claiming the land.
I understand, but here there is no transaction.
Shimon sold the land to Reuven.
He's selling it to
Reuven himself.
Selling the neighboring land to Reuven.
So then he says to Reuven, now this land I'm selling you is next to my land. Right. Reuven says it's really my land, but then it's okay. Why? Then if he signed off for such a property, if Reuven buys a land, and the land that he's buying has said on it, your neighboring Shimon's land, then he doesn't lose his zechus. Why not?
Yeah. They wouldn't have done the deal.
Right. He says if I would have complained, he wouldn't have sold it to me, and I wanted to have two fields next to the other. So first I bought this one, and I'm going to get back the other.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right. So I guess it again. So again, the Amar. So
Amar thinks of everything.
Amar, it's true.
What business school you have?
Amar Baye. Lo shanu ela l'acher, aval la'atzmo. Lo, even as zechus. If he buys himself, he doesn't lose his zechus, even though it's listed on the property he just bought that the neighboring property is really Shimon's. Why? The Amar Ida lo avdi lehachi. If I don't go about this route, lo have a mountain lei neli. He wouldn't have sold it to me, so I stayed quiet. I acknowledge that okay, it's your land, and I'll buy the property, and then I'll go to court and take the other land from it since Levi stole from me in the first place. So ma'is lechel meimar. So what's it to say here? What does that mean?
So the
statement, Ma'is Lechamer, what am I to do? Ibar le Mimsar Moda, Shav Gidim Moda, Moda, Rashi explains, is Lemimsar Moda, Lomer le Edim Besesa, Shav told the Edim quietly, Hav Yodum Shal Sadazesh Sheitzel Zu, Shani Lokech, Anim Arya. The property, the neighboring property I'm buying from, is really mine. I didn't protest it. I didn't want the word getting out. So I'm just telling you privately. It's a moda that I've talked about many places. We're going right this way. We have proof. We'll write a little document that you know that I don't really agree to this part of the document. But for purposes of my own protection, I want to hide it. So let's hide it out. So if I wrote a moda, says the Reuven, chaver chaver yisley chaver de chaver. The Edim are not going to keep it quiet. They're going to pass on to the next person, the next person.
Right.
I think Weinberger says that a secret's a secret until you tell the next person or something like that. Meaning it's not really a secret. And things that carry on, especially with us, so you can't even trust the Edim. So I had to be very, very quiet and sign up for such a document.
He could have gone to Beis Din and do that. Or maybe Beis Din would have stopped the sale. Maybe.
Well, even by a base in maybe Chaver Chaver Yisle. Okay, Ahud Asa Simil Acher. So there was once a case like this that they made a Simil Acher. They bought a property and it was noted on it that the neighboring field is really Shimon's, not Reuven's. And Arer Vishachav, so he protested it. Reuven protested that it was really his land and he died, I guess. Vokim Apotrapa. And they had placed an apotropos to oversee the properties of Reuven. And us apotropos, lekame debai, samar le. So he went to the apotropos and said, wait a second, that property that Shimon's on is really in my, you know, the person in the estate that I'm overseeing. And it was Levi stole it. So samar le, Abai says to the apotropos, asa samar l'acher, ibid sechuzo. No, but Reuven had signed off on such a property that was neighboring this land he's claiming of, and he wasn't bothered by the fact that it says Shimon's was the neighboring land, not his own. He loses the chus. So Amar, so the Apotropos responds back to Abai, he have a avun, tias mikayim, have a tain. Had the father been alive, he would have said, v'amar, telem echad asisi lecha. I gave you one land, that first row is yours. Fine, that's what I mean. It wasn't the whole land, just that first row of the property will be that of Shimon's. But the rest of it, I'm going to claim back. So Amar Leh, Shapik Kamris, that's a very good claim back. So again, when Reuven's basically signing off on the shtar that the neighboring land is Shimon's, not his own, he's only referring to that neighboring land, that line, only the border, that first border, is going to be that of Shimon's. But I wasn't testifying about the entire property after all. I think that's how it's being understood.
Yeah, but it's very short.
So right now the Gemara likes such a claim. So Amar Leh, Shapik Kamris, this is a good tiny that Apotropos has. They found the very good Apotropos to oversee the property of the Yisomim here. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Im ton v'amr telam echad asis lecha neman." He's believed. That's a good taina. Rabbi Yochanan likes such a taina. So zil havle mias telam echad. So Abai says, "Okay, fine. So go give him one land. Go give him one row." Now you still have to, you know, duke it out about the property whether really Levi stole it. So Rashi says, "You see, Rashi havle mias telam echad." Go give him one row. It sounded like he won in court. So Rashi explains, yeah, that's what happened. Lacha shehivi apotropos shel yisomim raya, shayisa shel avim v'gazei manu. He didn't just say this. Apotropos brought real proof that Levi stole from their father. V'lohaya l'machzik zechus bei, and the machzik Shimon had no zechus. Elafisha asa avim simon b'shmo shemachzik. So, but the father still signed off such a star with simon l'acher. So amalei, abai, l'apotropos zozil havlei l'machzik miyetz tel mechat. So at least give Shimon that first row. That Reuven signed off on the document that the neighboring field was really that of Shimon's, and the rest Reuven could take after he proved that Levi stole it from Reuven. Hope you're following all the different names. Okay. So Hava Allah Rikhva Didikla. Now on this line of property that he gave over to Shimon, so there's a Rikhva Didikla. Rashi says there's Shuras Dikolim Rukavin Zal Gavizeb. There was a row of date trees that were murkav. It was literally grafted, but grafted is usually what we use for grafted different types of minim. It probably means just they're on top of each other. I don't think it means grafted in terms of kalaim issues, but it sounds like overgrown, maybe.
They're riding on each other.
Right. I mean, that's the same idea of grafting. Like grafting is when you have them ride on each other, but here also means they're overgrown. They're all intertwined with each other. So, okay, what's the issue here? Amalei, so now the Abachapas says, no, I skipped a line here. Yeah. Ihava avun diyas mikayim. If the father of the Yisomim would have been alive, havatayin, he would have claimed, v'amar chazarti v'lakachti mimenu. I went ahead and bought it back from him. After I made the simon l'acher, I repurchased it from him. Amalei, shaper kamers, that's a good taina. D'amar b'yochan imton, v'amar chazarti l'vakachti mimenu, neman. Person says he went ahead and rebought it back from him. So, meaning he granted it to him. I gave it to Shimon because I should sign the shtar. I need to hold by my word. I signed the shtar that Shimon bought the neighboring property. And one of the properties was his own property. So, I have to give him the full tell him. But I do have the right to buy it back. And it's very likely Shimon will resell the property back. What's one line on a property border going to do for him? The truth is it will do a lot because it extends his own property because he's the neighboring property. But if you make such a claim, Rabbi Yochanan is satisfied with this. Now, I'm not sure why it doesn't even require some type of shtar or something or a chazaka. Why is it neman? So Rashi says,
I don't understand.
Why he's believed here?
No, if the father of the Yisomim was alive, he could have said chazarti velakachti mimenu.
Right.
What does it mean?
I bought it back from him. I gave Shimon the land, that row, because I have to, because I wrote that in the shtar that he had the neighboring property. But then I went ahead and bought it back from him, that line.
He has to prove that he bought it.
Ah, so look what Rashi says. Rashi says, Neman, why he believes in this case? Where's the proof? Give me a shtar, give me something. So Rashi explains, Neman, that pesha also who a pesha iter. The one who asked it is also the one who could permit it, meaning, once Reuven, the Apachabas, rather proved that it was really Reuven's the whole time, and Levi stole from him, Shimon has no longer claim anymore in that row. Because we understand now why Shimon signed off, Reuven signed off, why Reuven signed off on such a property, because he was trying to
claim. But isn't that the Shesha have to be done at the same time?
Let's just read this last line. Hold on. And Ella al piv shozer shoso simon la'acher harei chazer v'amar lakachtiv. So before we get to your question, so here, based on his word, he made simon la'acher. Right?
It's part of the last line. Ein lazeh z'chus boso telem ella al piv shalo asa simon. His z'chus only comes from...
Right, the telem only comes based on what the Apotropos admitted to.
But this, the cases where he signed something half a year ago or a year ago.
Okay.
So usually when you say Pesha says Pesha Iti, you say, well, you know what, I'm saying this, but this happened 6 months ago, and he says, and now the Pesha Hitir is coming a year later and saying, no, you know, I bought it back from him. I don't think that's how it works, no?
Art Scroll is troubled by that, but they say that's, apparently that's what Rashi says, it's okay to have that length of time.
And
it
says other
Rishonim
disagree that it has to be immediately.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. So it boils down to how to understand the nature of Pesha Het to Pesha Esser.
In my mind, it usually works because, you know, if you have time to think later, why, you know, a new claim, you're coming up with a whole new, but you normally you say, listen, at this time I could have said this and I said this, and, you know, that's why, but...
I'm trying to think. I'm sure it boils down to the nature of it. This actually happens to be a great machlokas. How to understand it.
What does this all have to do with the row of...
The row of... Because I guess it was significant. Mm-hmm. If it was just some extra grass, so he didn't really mind, that's my guess. But since it's all these trees, date trees...
Wait, why is it important that it was...
Tosa asks you a question, by the way. See, Tosa, do you ask Imtan V'Amar? Imtan V'Amar Chazarati V'Lakachti Menu Mehemen. Tema, Amai Neman Hol V'Holda Delav Shalohu... How did he just, you know, change directions like that? If you're going to say to Migo, he could have not signed anything in the first place, not the v'lo havemode, and not made anything either. So that's not a good claim. La milsi, the b'chi agav no la min Migo. I'm going to get involved in Migos here. Let's try to get back down to his solution here. Okay, he's getting involved with the Mizuyev. Okay, I'm not going to get involved with this right now. Okay, either way, he does address your question, and he has to therefore think of a different reason other than a Pesha Us or Pesha Hitter as to why the father of the Apotropos rather is believed here. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Abai, bye. He says, Hai man demokim apotropa nokim ki hai diyade la fuche bezuchus diyasme. So Abai says, the one who's going to set up a Apotropos to oversee the property, so he should really have an intelligent individual, an attorney of some sort, who knows how to fight your case and fight for the Yisomim, because this Abachabas we just saw here is very, very good, a very good towing, and that's a good advice how to pick the Abachabas.
Did we say Amar Le Shapir Kamar, Amar Yochanan Imtan, Amar Chazer?
Yeah, that was Neman. That was the whole discussion of Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter.
Right.
Okay, the new mission now tells us, Masnisen, Misha halach l'medinas hayam, somebody who goes overseas, v'ivda derech sadeu, and comes back, and his walkway to his field is now overgrown, and there's no path to get from the street to his yard. I mean, he had a yard that was not off the street. It was deep inside the fields. And there's a little pathway between two fields that he used to, let's say, go through to get to his field. Comes back months later, it's overgrown, and people's growing corn there. He has no way to get to his field. What's he supposed to do? So says the Mishnah, according to Admon Omer, Yelech Lo Biksar. Take the shortest path from the street to get to your land, make a direct connection, just plow through, rip out all the corn to get to your field. Chacham omrim, yiknel derech b'me'a mana o yifrach b'avir. No, you have no right to just tear out someone's produce. Either you buy back your walkway or you fly in the air, which of course is not a reality, but in other words, buy back or just not get your land. So my time at the Rabbanon, why did the Rabbanon say that you have to buy back your property? Shapik kamer Adman. Adman seemingly had a very good taina. He had a walkway before he left, and someone stole his walkway from him. So let him take the shortest route. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, kagon shekifuha arba bnei adam me arba ruchuseh. He's talking about a case where 400 people have 4 different directions of his land. So each one say, it wasn't my property, go to the other guy's property, go to his cornfield. And he said, no, go to that guy's cornfield. So if it's one guy who owns all the surrounding property, so then, either way, you're cutting through the same guy's property, so then you take the derech ksara. But here we're talking about a case where we had 4 different people that he could make such a claim. So ihachi, my time with Admon. Now, then why does Admon allow you to take derech ksar? Reuven's going to say, it wasn't my land, take Shimon's land. And Shimon says, take Levi's land. Levi says, take Yehuda's land. Going to go in circles. How does Admon give him the right, the owner of the property in the center, how does that give him the right to just walk to the shortest path? So Amar Rava, really it's a case of Ba'arba, Da'asim Mikach, Arba. Va'arba, Da'asim Mikach, Chad. Let's read again. Arba, Da'asim Mikach, Arba. 4 people who bought from 4 different owners previously. And a case of 4 people who bought from 1 owner, Kuyama Lopligi Dimatzi Madchile. Since there are 4 current owners, even though the second scenario they came from 1 owner, but since there are 4 current owners, they could say, go to his land, go to his land, go to his land. And then unfortunately our owner is stuck, he has to buy his land. Kipligi, when is there machlokus Admon Chachamim? Bechad Asa Mikoach Arba. Now seemingly, by the way, just Chad Michad should also be. I would imagine also would be permitted to cut through. Like Adam, let's just say no. So Kipligi bechad da'asim mikach arba. One guy who bought from 4 different people. Now you have one owner who's surrounding his property, but initially it was 4 different owners. So Admon Savar Mikol Makom Darcha Isli Gavech. So you say to the guy, listen, no matter which property I'm choosing, I need to get to my land, one of your properties. So I'll take the derech katzara. Do you a favor. Rabban Tzavri, Ishaskas, Shaskas. If the owner of the land, surrounding lands, is quiet, okay, he's quiet, so take the derech katar. This is the claim of the owner of the land. He says, if you stay quiet, and I'm not helping you with anything. But Ilo, if you don't stay quiet, you're giving me a fight here, you know what I'm going to do? Mahajunish Shtar Lamarayu, I'm going to return the documents to the 4 initial owners, original owners, and you can't deal with them. Then they're each going to push you off, and you're going to be stuck. This is business. So if you want to get it from my land, either pay me some money, or I'm going to revert back to the 4 other owners. You're going to be stuck either way. He puts them in a corner.
He's going to call his bluff.
Yeah.
Give it back.
You're enjoying these business arguments. Learned some good tips. So the Gemara says, "Ahu de Amrlei." Fine. So that's the end of the story, I think.
Yeah.
That's the explanation of the machlokas. But so again, now, I would imagine if it's a case of one person who bought for one person, then even the Chachamim would agree they take their katsara.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no other taina.
He has no taina. Right.
What if you have one person who bought for one person who bought from 4 people? How far back could you go? Seemingly, you can't go back to 2 previous owners.
It would seem that not.
Probably not. Because
it's not in his power to do that. Right.
But now, could you say that I'm going to sell to 4 people? So you know what I'll do? I'm going to sell it to 4 people and deal with them. Or there's only work to go backwards.
Because he has already now.
He's the largest land now.
Right.
Against the one guy.
But his claim, but once he buys these 4 properties, you can't just undo a sale. It's going to be viewed as a new sale moving forward. So what's the difference whether I'm returning to the initial 4 owners or to 4 new owners?
Because he's claiming that he might just annul the... אחזיר את שטרי המחירה לבעלים הקודמים של השדות וכן תתבטל המחירה. He's trying that it's going to be bottled, the sale.
No, it says here that there is no difference. But it is relatively easy to return them to the original owners as opposed to selling them to new purchasers. And then see some
who did you quote there? Because Tosa says differently, actually. Does he say?
So according to this, you're right. He could sell it to new ones and it's the same case.
It sounds like, but Tosa says no. If you look at Tosa, we have 10 minutes. Look at Tosa. I think Tosa, does he doesn't quote Tosa. Does he quote Huli?
No, Shita Mekubetis.
Okay.
Meaning Rashi.
Fine. So that makes sense. So you could sell to anybody you want moving forward, really. Just easier, as you said, because they have a prior relationship. It's easier to sell to those four owners. Now, one would also say, what do you mean? They sold it because they didn't want the land. Why would they want to rebuy it? Just to save you a couple $100 from giving up a...
Yeah.
But Tosa says it's not true. Tosa says it works differently. We'll read through the top at the beginning of Tosa's quickly. If you listen to me or stay quiet, different gear cells, fine. If not, I'm going to give it back the shtar. He can't say the following. You can't say, I'm going to sell it now to four new people. That you won't be able to deal with. He cannot do this. He cannot be mafkia his responsibility by selling it off to somebody else. Because he didn't have this right beforehand. Only one from four. I'm going to return to the four original owners. So I'm not going to get so involved in this either, but somehow that zechus, since he's bought from the four previous owners, he somehow has that zechus within it still. It's historically in the sados, and that's a built-in taina he has, different than what the Shimon Tekmetzes was saying. I think Tosis is a little bit harder to navigate, but just be aware that it's such a machlok is out there.
But couldn't you say that as long as there's one owner, and the guy from overseas is coming, it's almost like there's a lien
interesting.
On the property, and therefore he can't really sell it to four other guys.
Maybe that's what Tosis is saying.
When they do a search, they'll say, hey, there's a guy who's questioning whether or not you really have all this land.
So maybe that's pshat here. When one person buys from four, so you had no lien, they're saying. You had no lien because had you come before I bought it, then you had no claim on that. So that non-lien, if you will, that protection of these properties, of you not being...
is transferred
to this new owner.
Yeah.
That's pshat.
That's a good pshat.
But then you have to say the other way around. Let's say one guy sells to four. So then you could say, your question now, one guy has it initially, so the guy, the center field, has a lien of a walkway. Now you sell to four different people, what happens to that lien?
Well, he has a lien.
What's it called?
It's an easement.
Easement. But when he sells it to four, the current reality is that each one can say, no, it was right. By you.
So even though there's a lien, just who's a lien on?
Who's lien on?
Okay.
Right.
Fine.
Yeah, but that's why they may not buy it.
They might have. Well,
wait a second. It might be. You know, it could be that I'm going to lose a path.
But if they all buy it together, if four different people buy it, then they know the lien won't take effect. So they're protected since they have four different buyers, or even two different buyers, for that matter. We should start a Choshen Mishpat call here. This is fun. Okay, the Gemara says, "Hahu, where are we now?" Hahu d'amar luhu. Dikla libaras. What are you doing timing here? We have 7 minutes almost. Okay. Hahu damar lehu. Dikla libras azil. So, person says to a person, dikla libras. So, there's a certain tree to the daughter, to their sisters. So a man says again to his sons before he dies that you should give a dikla to the daughter. Give it to your sisters. He says to the sons, give a dikla to your daughters. And shachav, and the man dies. Vishavak, and after the man dies, he leaves over a lot of property, and all the property, the many different trees. So, tre palga de dikla, so two half trees. There's he leaves over tre palga de dikla, two half trees. Whatever that means, a half tree, I don't know. So,
Do we skip?
Did I skip a line here?
No, like six lines.
Let's see. Hahu damar leo dikla levras, azo yasmi, palga nichsai. There we go, I'm sorry. Yeah? So again, Hudamalu Dikla, a person that says to his sons, Dikla Labras, make sure you give a dekel to your sister. Also Yasmi Palagla Nikse, Layavla Dikla. So the Yisomen went ahead and they divided the property and they didn't get the Dikla. They're like they're supposed to. Savar Rav Yosi Lamehmar Hainu Masis, and that's our very Mishnah, because now she claims her Dikla and they keep saying, no, go to him, and he says, go to him, and they go back and forth to each other. It's not my responsibility. You're right, you have a lien in all the properties, but you can't pinpoint it to my land and you can't pinpoint it to his land. So Amalei Abai Mi Dame. You have these two cases similar. Hasam Kol Chad V'Chad Matzi Matchilei. There, by the property surrounding the guy's center property, you could say, "Oh, your walkway was in his property. Your walkway was in his property." Halcha Dikla Gavaihu. So, but here the Dikla is on both you together. You both have an equal responsibility. Yeah.
There it's
there it definitively only falls on one person.
But here it's on all the properties together. You guys split the properties, but that wasn't right to split the properties.
Because he didn't specify. He just said give her a tree and not which another specific tree. Is that what it is?
Well, because here we look at Rashi. Hacha dikla gevayuhu, the last three narrow lines. Sharei kol anichasim shayu yachad b'shas tzava. All properties were together during the initial the death and when the order was given from the father. Valkulam hitil hadeko. Before they split it, they both had the equal responsibility to make sure that their sister got the deko. But Pirush Eziv, they didn't say which one it gets to. So even though they split it, they weren't right for splitting it. Here, by the case of the field, they split it and then the guy came back to start claiming it. Now this still going to Harry's question, but the lien existed before they split it though. That lien by the field around it, shouldn't that be more similar?
It's not about. I don't think it's about the timing when they did it. It's about the fact that by the case with the four people, we know it was exclusively one of the four.
Okay.
Here, there's a partnership in what is okay. The woman.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Makes sense, right?
Meaning that each one was chayav of part of the deco, mm-hmm. as opposed to one chayav mm-hmm. of the whole deco.
Right, collectively chayav right. deco.
But the field, so it was only one of us. Which one we could push it off? Now, if you bring a raya, which field it was, seemingly that person you have right to go through that field, I would imagine. I know it was on the south side. Now, here's my star proof. You could probably, I imagine you could cut right through. So, Maitekante, what's supposed to do?
Right. Yeah. This is the solution.
So Maitekante, what are you supposed to do? Listrei le dikla v'lehadre ulufleg bereisha. So go, give her the tree, and then redivide all the lands.
Yeah, because the first chalukah was psula because there were nechassim that weren't theirs anymore.
Exactly, they took something that wasn't rightfully theirs. Okay, should we run through this? We have 3 minutes. Should we try to go through the last story quickly? Ha'u damar lehu dikla lebras. The guy says, give this dekel tree to my daughter. Shachav, he dies. B'shavik trei palgi did it dikla. He leaves over two half trees. Whatever a half tree means, I don't really know. So Rashi explains, Shayalo Shutves, there was partnerships. Vishar de Kalam Harbe Hayulo, he had many other trees. So they gave, the father had a partnership when two of the trees. So they gave him two halves. Half of this one who's a partnership with Reuven, the other half a tree who's partnering with Shimon, let's say. That's what they ended up giving her, not a full tree with her full ownership. So Yosef Rav Ashi v'kokashi lei, mikari inchi l'tre palgi dikla? Dikla? Oh, lo. This person called two half trees a one decal tree. Does two halves make one or not? That was his shiloh. Amalei Rav Mordechai Ravashi Hachi Amar Abimi Mehagrunya Mishrei Derava Karo Inchi Latre Pagi Dikle Dikle. Yes, two half trees are called one full tree, and she got what she deserves. Okay, everyone have a good Shabbos, a good Yom Tov, and a Mitzvah Shem, a wonderful Mazel Tov. A good seeing. Mitzvah Shem, we're making one, as I said, next week. Shal Shudas here.